We're back after Pesach. Everyone had a good, nice Pesach. It was good to be gone, good to be back. And we're going to talk about Divrei Yamim, Perek Chaf Chet. Now, these prakim of Divrei Yamim, Chaf Chet, Chaf Chet, is David's last act. After this, he dies. Death. And this is where he formally declares Shlomo king in front of the entire people. Now, we'd seen that before in Malachim Aleph. Perak Aleph, he had kind of announced that Shlomo will become the king. But now Adoniah said that I'm going to be the heir. I'm the heir to the throne. So he said, no, Shlomo's going to be the king. He's anointed the king, but now he gets everyone together and says, this, my son Shlomo, he's 12 years old. I'm abdicating in his favor. Full coronation ceremony, not as dramatic as King Charles, because they don't have the big glove and the big ball and all the other fun things they had. But what they did have, source one, this is the end of Perachav Tet, and they ate and they drank, big party, that day, great joy. And they declared Shlomo king the second time. You know, the first time was in a little more private, just in Yerushalayim, at the Malachim Aleph, Perak Aleph. This is the more public day when they crown king. Shlomo ben David, Hashem, and they anointed him before God, Lenagid, to be the ruler, with Sadok Kohen, and they anointed Sadok to be the Kohen Gadol, which is its own story. But that's the end of these two prakim here. It starts with really the plans to build the Beit HaMikdash. This is a public ceremony where he tells Shlomo, you are going to build this Beit HaMikdash. And so, Perchavchet, Pasuk Aleph starts. David calls Sarei Yisrael. David gets together all the leaders of Israel, Sarei Shvatim, leaders of the tribes, Sarei Machlakot, leaders of all the rotations that we talked about between the judges and the Kohanim, Levim, Marshatim Atah Melech, who served the king, Sarei Alfim, Sarei Meot, and all the local judges, either were the thousands and hundreds, the Sarei Kol Rechush Melech, and all of those who were in charge of all the property. Ones who are in charge of all his animals and all of the mineral rights, Lavanav and his sons, Imasarisim, Bargibarim, with all of the other ministers and all of his agents, Chol Gibor Chayil, whole army, El Yerushalayim, gathers everyone together to Yerushalayim, anyone who's anyone. Yakam David HaMelech al Raglav, David gets up on his legs, on his feet. Yomer, he says, Shmuni Achiv Ami, listen to me, my brother, my brothers, my nation. Great opening for our speech. Achivami. Ani im labavi, I had the intention of not Beit Minucha la'aron brit Hashem. I had intended to build a house so that the Aaron could rest. It's been wandering from place to place. I want to build a permanent home, the Aaron of Hashem, v'adam ragle Elokeinu, the footstool of our God, v'achinati livnot, and I prepared everything. And it makes the point that v'yakam David HaMelech al raglav, he gets up. He stands on his feet because at this point he's too feeble to get out of bed. We know that from the beginning of Malachim Aleph. He can't get warm. He's old. He's bedridden. As Monsieur David said, Aruglav, Gomer, Gomer, Imki Tashash Kochal, even though he was too weak, Bavor Zikna, even though he was old, David Zaken Ma'od. Imkozeh, he made a point. He's gathered his strength together, La Moral Aruglav, to stand on his feet, Lechod, Sri Yisrael, Nesfi Malav. In honor of all the leaders of Israel who were there, he makes a speech. But the Midrash on this says, no, he gets on it, he stands up because of what he's doing. He is transferring the plan to the Beit HaMikdash, and that warrants standing. And it says, Melech David Zaken Bavimim, David was very old. And Zeshmar Katuv, when in Yeshaya it says, Koyeh Hashem Yachlifu Koch, those who have faith in God will have their strength renewed. This was David at this moment. He has strength renewed because of his faith in God. Amru Rotenu. Chazal said, Shlosh Esrei Shanim Asa David Chole U'Motal Bamita. For 13 years, David was ill, he was bedridden. Why 13 years? Because he's 69 now. He's going to be 70, he's going to die at his 70th birthday. 13 years beforehand, he's 56. That's right after the incident of Bathsheba. That's right when Absalom decides that his father's too weak to do anything about Amnon's rape of Tamar. That's when he has Amnon assassinated. That's when Absalom decides he's going to take over the kingdom. That 13 years, it's been 13 years since I basically stopped being king. So, Bishivak Harim, Hayu Machalfim, Mitachta, B'Choyom, and he had seven pillows resting under him just from getting through the day. Ilush Loshis Reishanim, Ayat Mit Yaser. These 13 years that he was suffering, Bishvil Sha'asa Oto Maaseh, because of that incident. Always the Midrashic hint to Maaseh Batsheva. After that is when he was suffering. B'chol Sona'av, Hayu Omrim, and all of his enemies would say, Ematai Humen, when is he just going to die? So now those who hate him, Rabbi is talking specifically about Avshalom. Nehemiah Tilum says, Oyvi Umru, my enemies say, Rali, they speak evil of me, Matayamut, Avachma, when will he die? So these 13 years have been since Avshalom decided to rebel after the murder of Amnon, all these things. He's become, well, figuratively weaker and weaker. And evidently, literally as well. At this point, he can't get out of bed. But he pulled himself together from this moment, from all these people. He prays for the strength. So the Medrash continues. So he's weak, but he's going to do this. He's going to transfer the leadership to Shlomo, and he prays to Hashem. Says, let me give the strength to stand up before this Beit HaMikdash that we're going to build. That Shmuel bequeathed to me. Shmuel is the one who's carrying the tradition of saying, this is how we're going to build the Beit HaMikdash. We'll look at that. Shemod min ha-meitazeh, let me stand for, get up from this bed. Vashlim lehem megilat binyan Beit HaMikdash. And I will give over the plans, scroll of building the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, Shemakash brach v'tfilato, v'mad min mita, and Hashem heard, and he gave him the strength to stand up. And said, v'yakam David HaMelech, David got up al raglav. He stood up, maru al raglav. Why it emphasized he's standing up on his feet. L'shenidrape, that he was healed. He felt better. And that's it. Bari became healthy. V'mad raglav, could actually stand up. Me'achar kol otan Hashem, after all these years that he's been better. V'yach namar, kol Hashem l'chid b'koach, and that's what means to say that those that have faith in Hashem will have their strength renewed. This was David. And he gets up and he announces to the people, I'm going to give Shlomo the plans to build the Beit Midrash. This is what I've tried to do all these years. And then he summarizes the reasons why he didn't build it himself. And we've looked at that many times. I'll just read the text here. Lo kim amar li, God told me, Lo tibnei bayit lishmi. Shem told me, you're not going to build this. Ish milchamot hatav, damim shafachta, because you're a man of war, you've spilled blood. Again, we'll talk about what that means and why that matters. But Hashem chose me, Mikol Beit Avi, out of all my whole family, Liot Lamelech Israel, to be the king over Israel. Olam forever. Ki, why? Because this has been a process of selection. Yehuda Bachar Lenagid, because Yehuda, back from the times of the Shevatim, which was chosen as the leader, with Yehuda Beit Avi, and my household, the children of Peretz, and then the children of I'm blanking his name. What's that? It's about Yishai. And the house of Yishai were the leaders of Bnei Israel. Bnei Avi, and among my father's children, I was chosen Ratzal Amlich Al Kol Yisrael to be king. We have that story in Shmuel Aleph, where Shmuel goes to anoint one of Yishai's sons, and David is one who's chosen. Mikol Benai, and so I am going to pass that leadership on out of all my sons. Ki rabim banim natali Hashem, because God's given me a lot of sons. I have a lot of choices here. But Hashem chose Shlomo. Natan came to me and says, this child is Yedidia, the beloved of God. Shlomo bini l'shevet al kisei malchut Hashem Israel was chosen to sit on the throne of Israel. Vayomer li, and Hashem told me through Natan Avi, Shlomo bincha hu yivneh beiti v'chatzer etai. Shlomo will build my house and its courtyards. Yibacharati bo, because I've chosen him, Levan, to be my son, Vaniel Olav, and I will be his father. Shlomo's not your son. He's got to be Hashem's son. Vachanyotit malchuto adal olam, and I will establish his kingdom forever. Im yechazak lasot mitzvotai, as long as he does the mitzvot, mishpatayim, the commandments, heyom azeh as he does, as clear as today. Vata. So, I mean, after introducing Shlomo, he will be the next king. Vata. Now, Leinei Kol Yisrael, before the entire Israel, Kol Hashem, the assembly of God, was Leinei Elokeinu. So, people are watching, God's watching as well. You need to keep and you need to understand, to read Shah here, understand the mitzvot of God, the mantra art, so that you can keep this land, you can inherit this land. Art to talk about this good land. You'll have unto your children, Achrechem, Adolam, the ones who come after you forever. So you need to keep the mitzvot in order to keep this land. Now, Batashlomo, and you Shlomo, who's standing here next to me in this assembly. B'ni, my son, da, you should know at Elkei Avicha. Know, understand Hashem, God of your father, that's my God. V'avedu b'lev shalem u'b'nefesh chafetza, and serve him with a whole heart and with literally a seeking soul. You need to seek him out, so Jirshu. Kivachol levavot d'resh Hashem, because God knows what's in the hearts of man. Kol yetzer machshavot mevin, and understands all thoughts. Then we'll know your intentions. If you seek Hashem out, Hashem will find you. If you abandon God, Yiznecha la'ad, Hashem will abandon you forever. Here's the deal. Ray, Atas, now seek Hashem b'char, God's chosen you live no bait the mikdash. God's chosen you to build this Beit HaMikdash, chazak v'yamatz. You need to be strong and get it done. That's his speech to Shlomo. And this point where it says, Bachar Livnot is chosen Bayit Lamidash, literally a house to be holy, to be set, to be sanctified, is the only place where it really comes close to saying a Beit Midash. That term, which we use all the time, doesn't appear in Tanakh. This is the closest it gets. It is a Beit, not Hamikdash, but Lamikdash, as Mitzvah David said, Liot Lolmida, to be this one. It's Mikdash is the reflexive. It's that is sanctified. And there's one place where it's called Beit Mikdash Shechem, and that's when it's destroyed. It's at the end of Yerayim, Beit Elokim. So when it's about to be built, it's called the Mikdash. When it's destroyed, it's called the Beit Mikdash, but it's their Mikdash. Because Mikdash is the PL. It's that which is sanctified. Because the building itself isn't holy. That's kind of the message that I keep going back. The holiness happens from what happens from what happens in it. It needs to be mikdash, it needs to be something that's made holy. And the first time we see this term, mikdash, is in Shirat Hayam. Israel, they've just got out of Egypt, they start singing, Tidi Emer, Hanachaka, bring them, plant them on your mountain of your Herods. Your dwelling is ready. Talking about what would become the Beit Mikdash. Mikdash Hashem. Your hands have established this Mikdash, that which is sanctified. And the Gemara says on this, Kanu, your hands in the plural, is significant. Gemara Ketuvot. The deeds of the Tzaddikim, human beings in this world, are greater than creation of the world. In terms of creation, it says in Yeshaya, Yadi Yisada Aretz, that my hand, that's singular, planted the world, Vimini Tivcha Shamayim, and my right hand spread out the heavens, again in the singular. The Acts of Tzadikim, it says, your dwelling is ready, O God, Mikdash Hashem Kunra Yadecha, your hands have made. And the Gemara is hard to understand because this talking about Yadecha, talking about Hashem's hands, as it were. What do you mean, Maset Tzadikim here? So Kli Yakar says that Yadecha in the plural refers to the fact that human beings are Hashem's partners. There's Yad Hashem, there's Yad Tzadikim. Occur. The building of the Mikdash is called the act of Tzadikim. That's your hand. That seems to be God's work, as I do with people. Both of them have to be partners in building this building. Maaseh Tzadikim and Maaseh Hashem. As with the Mishkan, Hashem showed Moshe how to build it. Called Mishkan Banui, as it would be built. Moshe Katov Ken Asat Menorah, just like it says about the menorah, that Moshe made the menorah just as Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu Asa, just as Hashem made it, showed the plans. The Mishkan, and then the Mishkan afterwards were built by human beings as partners in God. So the Masiyah Dehem Shel Tzadikim, which is the actions of the righteous, that is the Mikdash. That is that which makes it sanctified, that which makes it holy. That's what makes it a Mikdash. That the Bayit that represents them is made by the partnership of Kadosh Baruch Hu and human beings. And then David starts this. He calls this Beit Mikdash, this house that will be sanctified, as the Beit Miuchal Aron Brit Hashem, the house where the Aron will finally rest, as the Hadom Raglei Elokeinu, the footstool, the legs of our God, which is a very specific meaning in Tanakh. What does it mean to be the footstool? And you were there when we did talk about this in Parshat Mishpatim a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to go through that again, at least for the audience on YouTube, whoever's watching this. Because this idea of the footstool of God, it's a weird kind of expression. The whole earth is called Hadom Raglav. Right? That's pasuk from Yeshaya. Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi. The heavens are my throne. But Aretz Hadom Raglai. The earth is my footstool, my footrest. Ezabayda Shet Tivnu Li. So therefore, you can't build a house for me. Ezamakom Menuchati. You can't build a place of Menucha. Even though David said, I'm going to build this Hadom Raglav. I'm going to build this Beit Menucha. I'm going to do this anyway. So what does it mean to be the Hadom Raglav, and that expression of being sort of the Hadom Raglav, not say the expression of Hadom Raglav, but the place where Hashem's feet rest, first occurs in a very odd experience as part of modern Mount Har Sinai. This, at least my Rashi reads, this is right before the actual Mount Har Sinai, right before Shavuot. Hashem tells El Moshe Amar, Moshe was told, Alei El Hashem, come up the mountain to God, Atayu, Aron ben Nadav Avihu, Aron and his two sons, and Shivim and Zikne Israel, and 70 elders. Yishtach v'tem merachok, and they'll bow down, you will bow down far away, not quite at the top of the mountain. V'gash Moshe levado al Hashem, and Moshe will go up all the way, v'hem lo yigash, but they won't go up there. V'alam lo yalu imo, and the rest of the people aren't going to come up at all. So they go up. The leaders of Shivim Zikneim go up, and Bayal Moshe v'Aron Nadav Avihu v'yishim V'shivim Zikne Israel, by Yeruat Elokei Israel, and they saw God, the Tachat Raglav, and the essence of their vision, K'masei Livnat HaSapir, was like a brick of sapphire, K'esem HaShemem LaTohar, as pure as the sky. And we're not corporealists, God doesn't have legs, not on an actual chair. These are symbols. Symbols, they're metaphors, and I love this from this cartoon called The Order of the Stick, that this is Una the bugbear of metaphor writers, right? It's not real places. This is word picture for making understanding. That's what we have to understand. What is this understanding of the footstool of God? That this whole vision, that they see God. It's a human brain trying to interpret this experience, which is just, it's an effort, but not put, able to put in words. So it's translated to these symbols. And it's similar to when Yechezkel has a very similar experience. Similar vision, same idea of the throne of God. And this is Yechezkel, first paragraph. And it was the 30th year since I think it's Yoshia's death, the fourth month, the fifth day. And I, Yechezkel, was in exile in Bavel on Har Kabar, on the banks of the river. The heavens opened up, and I saw a vision of God. And he goes through all this vision of the angels, the kruvim, the animals, the ofanim, the wheels. And on top of that, demut al roshei achaya. And I can have a vision on top of all these angels. Rakia, the sky, the firmament, the solid sky. Ki'en hakerach hanara, like this awful ice. Could barely see through it. Natuei roshei himal mala, hanging over their heads. And above the sky, Ashel Rosham, that was above them. Kamar Evan Sapir, Mukisei. A stone of sapphire that looked like a throne, like a seat. But the Muta Kisei, and then this vision of a throne, the Mut Kamara Adama Allah Mamala, a vision of a person upon it. And it was surrounded by a glow. Kamara Keshet Asher, Yia Ba'anam, Yama Geshem, like a rainbow that appears on a rainy day. Kamara Hanoga, Saviv, that was the glow that surrounded this Kisei of Sapir, of sapphire. Marut Devot Kavod Hashem, and that was the Kavod Hashem, which is always the meaning of the manifestation of God. So I see all this, and I fall on my face, and I hear the voices saying, and he hears what we quote in Kedusha, Baruch Shem Kavod Machato. No, not Baruch Shem. Baruch Kavod Hashem Mim Komo. So we have this image of God on the throne, both in Mishpatim and Yecheskel, but there are differences. Yecheskel sees this Mare Adam through the Kerach HaNarai. He sees a vision, looks like a person through this layer of ice. He can barely see. He's much further away. The Kinim are there. It says, Vayechazu et Elokim. They saw. They could gaze upon it. And Yecheskel sees this Sapir as an Eben, Sapir, a rock. The Kinim see him as Libran, Sapir as a brick. And Yecheskel sees the Kisei, the actual seat. You can't even see the Tachra glove, the ottoman, the footrest, the footstool, the hadom. So the Malbim on this says that you understand what this is supposed to be a symbol of. What does the Kisei mean? He says, "Ra'at the Kisei, Kamara Evan Sapir." And so they see this vision of a sapphire throne, Humukhana Kabel Komara. And the nature of the Sapir is the fact that it is basically a prism. It's translucent, you can see through it. Derech sifriyut ha'olam, v'derech sifriyut ha'olam, and it directs the, what he calls the sifriyut, the sfirot, the way Hashem manifests in the world. We're in the Omer right now. He's talking about the Eser sfirot, the way the 10 home spheres. We talk about them during the Omer of Chesed, Din, Tiferet, very Kabbalistic. But this sapphire is what directs those rays of Hashem's manifestation in the world. You see, they saw that, the Chazah, Shefa, you read it, Melakut. And they saw how Hashem influences the world. Hashem Batzilut Elyon, that comes from the really Atzilut, the next from next to God, the Sheva Gavanei Akeshet, and the seven colors of the rainbow. So the sapphire here is a prism. The Or Hashem, the light of Hashem, metaphorically being refracted out into the world into all its various forms. As it says, Kamara Keshe Asher Yeba Anan, it's like the rainbow. Yikra Evan Sapir, Hashem Asfirit, Hashem Shemosha Koch Me Asfirot Shalamala. It's called Sapir because it brings the power of the Sfirot. And I would say that etymology is backwards. They're called Sfirot because of this pasuk that calls it Sapir, Sapphire. And so therefore the colors that are refracted from it, this prism, metaphoric prism, refracting all the colors, are called the sphirot. That means the spectrum of the way Hashem appears in the world. So that gets very Kabbalistic. Olam Atzilut, the world that next it's near God, this idea of the sphirot, and Ein Lanu Esrei Misteri Manu Tu Kabbalah. But we can try to understand the metaphor here. It's a word picture for making understanding. So this Kisei HaKavod, which we also call the Merkava, and we'll talk about that, chariot. It's the manifestation of Hashem in the world, in the world of creation here. And Hashem is where sits there, says he's Yoshev there, and as the Rambam puts it, the Shav means to be seated, but it applies to everything permanent and changing. Applied to God, the verb is taken in that latter sense, Ata Hashem lo mom teshev, Hashem just is. There is no change. Change happens though as it's refracted. All these layers. It's made of, and this Kisei, the Hashem is on, is made of Sapir, refracts the light of creation to a spectrum called Sfirot, which are all the manifold ways that Hashem appears in the world. But that Kisei has two parts. The Kisei that Yecheskel sees, and then Hadom Raglav, the footstool. That's on earth. And oh, that's not, it's really, apostrophe, hold on here. It is, it's, thank you. Got the grammar right. That the sapir of the footstool is different from the akise. And the Malbim continues. Where it says, Kamaseli not a sapir. That the footstool is a brick of sapir. It's not an ebony, it's not a rock. What's Mo Masha Yecheskel? Seems very similar to what Yecheskel said. Kamare Eben Sapir, the movie said. Rav Yecheskel, Ra Kamara Eben, but Yecheskel's was a stone, rock. The Hemra U Kamasel is not, and they saw the brick. Shesh Hevdel ben Eben Ruena. And there's a difference between a rock and a brick. She Eben Metave Bateva. The stone's natural. Loide Masa Ben Adam, nothing to do with people. Uvana Asiyah Ben Adam. Bricks are made by people, it's man made. Musim Bachamar, who are seeing that, literally stepping through the mud, that we're here on earth doing real things. What the Zikanim are seeing, they see this, the man-made aspect of the Kisei. Then they could see how Hashem influences the world if he masedor. According to that, we said before, the Maset Tzadikim. Our actions are how Hashem manifests in the world. That's what the Hadam Regel represents. We create this sapir that refracts the light of creation. If they really did not sapir, that's what it means to say that they saw the brick of sapir. Because the brick is made by human beings. So, the Sefirot, which again is everything where everything talks about the Sefirot to Omer, and I go through all these various Sefirot, they're not there to tell us how Hashem acts in the world, it's how we're supposed to act. And that is our job, is to sort of create the Kisei HaKavod, at least that aspect of the Kisei HaKavod. Create that prism that refracts Hashem's light in the world. As Gemara famously says, Amar Abashol Ul Omer Avan Vehu, I should be like God, Heve Domelo. You should be like God. Your job is to imitate God. Vashu Chanun Rachum, just as God is merciful. As does Chesed, Afatahi Yechanun Rachum, so should you do that. So, summarize. This Beit Hamikdash is going to be the Hadom Regel of Hashem, which means that since the Kehila Kavod is the prism through which the Kavod Hashem is refracted in the world, in all of the manifestations that we call the Sefirot, Din, Chesed, Malchut, Yisod, all of those kind of different ways of seeing the way Hashem acts. But there are two parts. The Evan, the natural part, which is the part that goes with the Hashemayim Kisi, that's in heaven, that's at our control. And the Livnas appear, the brick, that is the Aras Hadam Raglai, the footstool, created by human actions. That's Masa Ador V'Tzidkatam. So David is saying that this Beit HaMikdash should represent that. The ultimate form of the Hadam Raglai Elkenu, but that Beit HaMikdash should represent the purpose of human beings on earth. We use the Beit HaMikdash to inspire us to be Chesed, Rachum, and all of that. It's not about being a building. No matter how nice the building is. The Rebbe has planned all this out. He gives the plans to Shlomo. And it continues on in our perek. Vayitein David Shlomo b'no et tavnita olam. He gives a stack of a Megillah, a scroll, describing what he's going to do, how to build the ulam, the hall, the batav, and all the outbuildings. The Gizinachav and the storehouses, the Eliotav and all the other on the upper floors, the Chadrav and all the chambers, Chadrav and Mim and the internal chambers, Ubeda Kaporet and literally the house of the Kaporet, the cover of the Aron. That's what he's calling the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's not just where the Aron is, where the Kaporet is. The Tavni Kol Asher Hayab Ruach Imo and the plan for everything that he had Ruach Kodesh to plan for. He didn't actually build it, but he's written it down. Rod Beit Hashem on the courtyards, Bechol Eshkot, Saviv, and all the chambers around it, Lotzarot, for storerooms, for Beit Elokim, Ulotzot HaKadoshim, for the house of God, and all the place for storing all the holy things, the entire temple complex. He's got plans written down. He's giving that to Shlomo. Umlachakot HaKohanim B'Levim, and how to organize the rotation of the Kohanim Levim, L'chol Melechat Avodat Beit Hashem, and everyone, all the works that needed to be done in the Beit Mikdash, Kol Klei Avodat Beit Hashem, and he gave them the plans for all the furniture, the utensils, the tools that they need. Zahav, Mishkal Zahav, and all the amounts of gold that we need for building, making the gold items, the Kol Klei Avodat Beit Hashem, for every kind of cool. L'chol klei kesef mishkal, and the amount of silver they would need. L'chol klei avodah avodah, that we would need for every kind of service. U'mishkal u'menot hazahav b'nerot tehem zahav, and the amount they would need for the extra lamps. Plus the Beit Mikdash, they had the original menorah that was in the Mishkan, plus they had 10 more menorot because it needed more light. B'mishkal menorah v'gotah, the exact amounts and sizes for each menorah. L'menorah t'kesef mishkal, and the silver menorah. L'menorah b'ner tek v'odat menorah menorah, enough silver and exactly how much for each one of those lamps. V'nezahav mishkal l'shulchanot amarechet l'shulchan v'shulchan, and the gold for making all the tables, because they had separate tables for shechting, and also in the Beit Midrash itself. The kesef, which was not the kesef, and the amount of silver they would need for the silver tables, all that written down in great detail. Mizlagot, and all the forks for the sacrifice of Mizrakot, and the sprinkling pans, Bakasabot, and the bowls, Zahav Tahar, the Chafrei Zahav, Mishkal Lichpor, Chafor, and for the bowls that they would need for all the various ingredients for everything. Out of gold, exactly how much gold, chaprei kesef, and the silver ones, mishkal, for each one of these bowls. Zahav, mezakek, b'mishkal, and for the incense altar, exactly how much gold you would need for that. Tavnit ha-merkava, akruvim zahav, l'frashim, b'sochim, alam b'dashem, and the image of the merkava. Talk to the merkava as being this metaphor for Kisya Kabod, Hashem's Shekhinah is refracted in the world. He's actually building a Merkava, literally building a chariot, which is the Kruvim, which again in the image is whoever carries the God's throne. And he's giving the plans for that to Shlomo. Haktol Bichtav Miyad Hashem, everything written down from the hand of God, Alayl Haskiel, and it was for me. That it says to understand. Kol melachot hatavnit, all the work that was necessary to build this building. That's his speech to Shlomo. And he hands over this scroll. And this is the place where the Kruvim are called the Merkava. So this now is not a symbolic Merkava, like Yechezkel seeing. This is actually the Kaporet. As I said, that the Kodesh Kodashim, the essence of that is the Kaporet, the cover of the Aron, which has these Kruvim on there. And then in the Beit Midash, Shlomo built two really big kruvim that stood on the floor and that covered over the Aron. That's where we get this expression, the Masya Merkava, for this prophetic vision of Hashem, the Yechezkel. Again, the Kodesh Kodashim is the big Kaporet. That seems to be what he's focusing on right now. Not so much the Aron, but the Kaporet and the Kruvim. Because, as we just said, the purpose of construction is to create a place for the manifestation of the Shekhinah on earth. We talk about the Kruvim that carry that Shekhinah metaphorically, and we've talked about the fact that they symbolize Knesset Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael as a whole. B'nai Yisrael are the ones who are carrying the Shekhinah in the world. That's our job, to kind of rewrite God's representatives. But here, we're not calling this the Kiseh, the place of sitting. So Merkava is different from a Kiseh. The chair stays put, the chariot's mobile. It moves. Can you hear me okay? Got a warning.
Yes. Yes.
Internet is unstable. Okay.
So that is very interesting that the Merkava is a moving chair and the Kiseh doesn't move, but it's the same.
The same.
It's coming from the same. Yeah.
Yechezkel sees this vision of the Kisei moving. It becomes a Merkava because they install Ofanim on it. There are wheels there. Because there, the Shekhinah is leaving to go into exile. But here it's different. This is where we're establishing, where it's a Beit Menucha, but it's still a Merkava. The wheels are still on there. Well, not the wheels, but we'll see. The poles are on there. Because the Shekhinah wasn't, the sense of Shekhinah boring, isn't supposed to stay in the Beit Midash. That's there. Because our role is to carry it out into the whole world. Okay, and that's the point where we can build Beit Midash. When Bnei Yisrael is ready to assume that role of carrying the Shekhinah into the world, then we can build the Beit Midash, which is a place where we'll start from, but that we'll have to go out from there, can't stay put. And that we saw that in the Mishkan as well, right? When they first time they build, they make the Aron. It has poles for carrying. It says, and you will put those badim, those poles for carrying, in the rings on the sides of the Aron, so that the Aron can be carried. But those poles need to stay put. All the rest of the kelim, the shulchan, the mizbeach had poles, but when they settled down, they took the poles out. The Aron, the poles stay there. Rashi said, "Lo yasru menu lo olam." They never should move out. That's the way Hirsch puts it. The badim, the means of carrying the ark, symbolic represent the command and the mission to carry the ark and its contents. Command that these means of transport may never be lacking. You can't take the badim out. Emphasize in our minds the fact that this Torah and its mission is no way bound or confined to this place or existence of at any time the temple and sanctuary. Yes, we have that mission even the Beit HaMikdash doesn't exist, but even when it's in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kodeshim, the poles are there. Because the Merkavah always has to be mobile. Okay, because the Hadom Regal of Hashem is supposed to be the whole world, right? Kol Hashem Haaretz Hadom Raglai. That the Beit HaMikdash as this Hadom Regal of Hashem is a symbol, it's a synecdoche, it's a part that represents the whole of that. And as long as you need to focus, it's not about the building, it's about the mission to take the holiness from that building and out. So I did get my Photoshop skills on, and I have a model of the Kisei HaKavod here, which is basically a big recliner with a brick for the footrest, a couple of wheels. I don't know if Hashem actually has a steering wheel on it or not, but we have the rainbow coming out of it. That's my image.
That is a funny vehicle there, Beth.
So evidently, okay. If you look on it, somebody actually built that. It's a recliner built in a go-kart.
That's pretty crazy.
Okay, so that's the Hadom Regal, that's the Merkava. And it's described there as Ktav Yad. He actually writes this down. It's a written plan. Chazal say there actually was an actual scroll that described these plans. This is the Midrash Shlom Shmuel. Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Yitzhak said, "Megilat Beit HaMikdash." This scroll of building the Beit HaMikdash. I don't know what it looked like, but it was as Masar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe BaAmida. Hashem gave it to Moshe. We're emphasizing the Amida. He was standing just like David is standing here. It's passed over. There was a ceremony of giving Moshe the plans. Hadriktiva said, Batapo Amori Madi. Hashem tells Moshe, "You will stand with me." Aman Moshe Masra Yeshua Bamida. Moshe gave this to Yeshua. And Moshe is not going to make it into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua, you're going to build the Beit Midash. Here are the plans. As it says, in Devarim, Karat Yeshua, Hashem tells Moshe, "You call Yeshua, Hitzetzu, and you will stand together." That standing is giving over the plans. But Yeshua Masrul Zakanim Bamida, and Yeshua gives it to Canaan because they don't build it on the time of Yeshua, which is his own story. But now the Zakanim, the next generations of leaders, we have the beginning of Pirkei Avot, have these plans, part of the Masorah. But if you see, as it says, Yosef Yeshua Kol Shivtei Yisrael, Shechema gathered everyone together in Shechem, because when they stood, Nathanael came before God. Again, this Amida style. Amdua is the Kinyan of Masrul Nevi'im, the next step in the chain of Masorah. Bamida, as it says in Shmuel, Bata Hitzetzvu, and Shmuel tells Bnei Yisrael as they're about to, but Shmuel is the kind of last of this chain of Nevi'im, you need to stand, we're going to build the Beit Midash, we'll get there. Amdu Nevi'im Masrul David, and the Nevi'im stood and gave it to David. That's Shmuel, is that Navi, the last of the Zakanim, who were at the time of the Shoftim, into the Nevi'im, which really is a time from the destruction of the Mishkan, that would be basically Shmuel, gives it to David, Bamida. He gave it to Shmuel gave the plans to David, but we have no record of this. We have no pasuk that said talks about Shmuel and David and the plan. Anything implies that they gave over the plans to the Beit Midash for some plans for the future. Then Amad David, Asrul Shlomo, Beno Bamida, but now we have David gives it over to Shlomo. So what is this Megillat Beit HaMikdash that he's giving out? It's Bikhtav, Miyad Hashem, inwritten from the hand of God, Alai Haskiel, and it says it's for me to understand. So it wasn't a set of blueprints. Whatever the documentation were, they still need Ruach HaKodesh, divided inspiration, and need Rasha, needed people, human understanding, and human interpretation of it. And as the Gemara says in Gila, Rabbi Yerushalayim, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, Gila Shemasa Shmuel David, whatever documentation Shmuel gave to David, Nitnala Hidaresh, needed drasha, needed explanation, needed analysis. It wasn't a simple set of blueprints. Matam, how do you know this? Where did it come from? Because it says Akhtob Ktav Zemesora. There was something that was Ktav, that was written down, that was tradition. Miyad Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh, that was divine inspiration. Alai Haskil, David says, for me to understand, that's what needed analysis there. It needs all these three parts together, the Sora, the Ruach Kodesh, and the human side, we call Torah Shabbat Peh, the Drasha, all come together to build the Beit Midash. And it says, though, that Masrul David, that Shmuel gave us David, Litlin Kray, there's no pasuk there. We don't have anything in the pasuk where it says he sat with David and tried to figure out how to build the Beit HaMikdash. We have a hint of it later in Divrei Yamin, or early in Divrei Yamin, where it says, Hobarim l'sharim b'safim, when it talks about all the arrangement of the Levim in terms of taking care of the gates, there are 210, him and b'chatzarehem, hityachsam, that he arranged them in their courtyards. That was what had set up by David and Shmuel. Clearly, they got together and they figured this out. Pasuk says that. Bemunatam in their faith. So Shmuel dies long before the story. Okay, Shmuel dies before David becomes king. The fact that David met Shmuel only twice. I'm trying to figure out when it is that Shmuel and David planned the Beit HaMikdash. First time is when Shmuel anoints him, Eric, what is it, Tetvav, Shmuel Aleph. But there Shmuel doesn't even talk to him. He doesn't even believe David is going to be the king. Hashem has to tell him, no, this is the one. He pours oil on his head and walks away. The second time is when David's on the run from Shaul. David's not king. He is the hero, leader of the army, and Shaul's gotten more and more paranoid. Shaul's trying to kill him. David runs away, escapes out the window. His apartment, and Michal lets him out. And then here in Shmuel Aleph, David Barach, David ran away, by Malay, and escaped. Shmuel Haramata. He comes to Shmuel in the city of Ramah. The Gedlo Kalasher Shaul, and David tells him everything that Shaul had done to him. Shmuel, and he go, Vayeshu Benayot, and they stay in Nayot, which is something, we have to figure that out. So Gemara in Zvachin asks, what do they go to Nayot? What is this place? Rosh Rabbah. What does it mean they went to Nayot? What's this Nayot in Ramah? Ramah is the city where Shmuel lives. What is Nayot? They were in the city of Ramah. Oskim b'noyav shel olam. Amri. They're dealing with literally the Naveh, the shelter of the world. Nayot was Shmuel's yeshiva, as it were, of planning the Beit HaMikdash. It's where he trained his Nevi'im. It was basically a for-profit university, bad pun there, for making Nevi'im. And he also was playing it was the So the Machon and Mikdash, literally, Nayot is from the sense of Naved, the shelter. This is where they're planning how to build the Mikdash. Says, Rufiyam, but come to Belita Makom, Ashayim Char Hashem Akecha, and they were analyzing where are they going to build the Mikdash, what are they going to do? This is the point. David's on the run. Before he's king, he's running for his life. He's going to spend the time with Shmuel figuring out what are we going to do with this? How are we going to build this Beit HaMikdash? As Yaakov Shimoni says, David barach him late by Bilash Shmuel. When David runs away and goes to Shmuel, Rapuna Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oto Laila, Shabarach David Lifnei Shaul, that night, and David ran away from Shaul, Laman Mishmuel Hanavi. He learned from Shmuel Mashen Tamid Vatik Lomaid Bimeyashana. He learned more than an experienced student could learn in 100 years. This was a night where they worked all of these details out. It was one night, a couple of nights, a couple of days in there, however long it took. That's when David gets these sort of these very specific plans. They weren't specific. Right? It requires Ruach Hashem, requires drasha, and we've talked about that when we talked about David initially wanting to build the Beit Midrash in this class we called Psakam. This was like 8 years ago. When David says, I want to build the Beit Midrash, and he asks Natan HaNavi, can I build it? But with that, I'm actually going to stop here and we'll continue this next time to look at what it is that David is building. What? How do you figure out how to build what goes into building a Beit Mikdash? What does it mean that there was a Megillah, there was a scroll, but it also requires Rasha? Stop here.
What was Nayot, though, again? I didn't understand. It was a place, or it was just a yeshiva?
It was the name of the yeshiva, basically as yeshiva, as it were. Ramah was a city, okay. Nayot was the place where he learned about the Naveh.
Okay, so it wasn't it was a place in Ramah.
Right.
Okay, great.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for...